Hello, Karen?
Blog yes. Talk Radio.
Yes.
Karen, you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good, 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 good. Let's start in about 10 more seconds, 10, 12 seconds of people still are logging on, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Good evening, everybody. I want to thank everybody for joining into the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show. Sit back, relax, get yourself some coffee, some tea, stretch out, because we're going to have a great time tonight. So I'll give you a few minutes to do that, and then we'll get the show on the road. All right, let's get started. The mission statement for the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show is to enhance the lives of its listeners with power-packed information and resources that ultimately make one's life better. If, in fact, that you want to email us, you can email us prior to the show, in between the show, or at the end of the show at the Life Enhancement at lifeenhancementconsultinggroup.org. With that being said, I would like to welcome my very special guest, Ms. Karen Presley, who is a friend, she's a pastor, she's an entrepreneur, she's an author, and above and beyond all those things, she is a friend to everybody who come in contact with her. Welcome to the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show, Karen.
Thank you, Leroy. Thank you for having me as your first guest. I appreciate that. I also
Absolutely.
Honor that as well.
Absolutely. Karen, briefly tell us some things that are going on at Anointed Press Graphics. Tell us some things that are going on there. I'm sorry. Tell us some things that are going on there that are very exciting.
Okay.
Say again?
Everybody says Anointed Graphics. I don't know why.
Okay.
But, yes, my company is Anointed Press Graphics. We are celebrating 12 years in business, and I'm excited about what God has done over the last 12 years. But the last 10 years, I've been at the location of 301 in Frank Tippett, Crane Highway in Cheltenham, Maryland. And literally, he has built the business from starting in my mother's basement with just doing graphics to now I do graphics, printing, book publishing, websites, and we specialize in branding. And so literally over the last 10 years, we've helped authors and entrepreneurs and businesses just build strong brands through print and digital media. So I'm excited about what God is doing through the business, as well as the business is literally a front to everything else that's on my life. And so it's really not just a business, but it's a ministry, and people
okay.
come in contact with other areas in my life.
Okay, very well. Outstanding. So if our listeners want to, take advantage of some of the products and services, do you have a website that they can go to in order to be able to do that?
Yes, Anointed Press Graphics is Anointed Press Graphics with an S on it .com. And then
okay.
you'll also be able to see the ministry side, which is KarenPresley.org and Daughters of Zion, which is our nonprofit.
Okay. Very well. Tell us a little bit about the nonprofit things that you're doing that I know that are, being a blessing to many.
Well, I do a lot of workshops. So with the nonprofit, which is Daughter Design Empowerment Center, we help people overcome the emotional side effects of domestic violence or childhood issues. I teach
mm-hmm.
a class called 7 Steps of Wholeness. But this year, we are doing monthly workshops on overcoming rejection. And I always tell people, of course, I am the first product of everything that I teach. And so I'm the first product of the ministry that God birthed out of me. And so
Absolutely.
Rejection is very heavy among men and women, and a
mm-hmm.
lot of times one thing when I'm advertising it is God has called us to, be whole behind the performance, so we can our gift and our anointing and our talents and our performance and all of that just flows naturally. But the person part of us can be wounded, and a lot of times we hide behind the performance and never allow God to deal with the person part of us, which takes us to the next level. And so I do workshops on that, but I'm also doing workshops through Karen Pressley on the business side, because I have one assignment but multiple platforms. And so that is to help people leave yesterday, whatever that looks like, and then step into their tomorrow through a closer walk with God, helping people to give birth to what's on the inside of them. And this year I heard midwife, and so when God said midwife, I'm an intercessor, and that's first and foremost. And
sure,
so to help
sure.
people to push out what's on the inside of them, which really goes with the topic that you're talking about a dream.
Well, I tell you, you are certainly doing some fantastic things, and it certainly looks as if your gifts are making room for you, just as what God
yeah.
said He would do. So I'm excited, you know, with you about your success and all the success that is to come. With
Thank
that being
you.
Said, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, Karen. With that being said, Karen, one of my greatest heroes was Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay.
And we all know that he was quoted as saying, "I have a dream."
Mm-hmm.
Karen, take a minute to fill the ear gates of the listeners tonight as to what it means to dream.
Well, and it's funny that you talk about the dream, because growing up, I never had a dream,
mm-hmm.
and which would be funny because the things that people see today wasn't my beginning, and I'm
mm-hmm.
always talking about, you know, growing up, I grew up in an abusive home and
mm-hmm.
came out of high school literally empty, and when I say empty, that means no dream, no goal,
mm-hmm.
no aspiration,
mm-hmm.
no anything, and so that caused me to go from job to job. I was never fulfilled, been fired 3 times, would quit a job in a heartbeat. I mean, literally, I was just out there because I didn't have a focus. I didn't have a dream. I didn't have anything that I was looking after. And so the dream is literally the very thing that God put on the inside of us, and we are all born with an assignment, with
mm-hmm.
a destiny, with purpose, with a dream, with talents. We're born with all these things. They're already innate on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of life, depending on how we grew up, because we are the product of our environments, we are all
mm-hmm.
products of our environments, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
the dream can be snuffed out of us, where, like in my case, where everything else begins to cloud that which God put on the inside of us. And a dream is more than a random thought. See, sometimes
uh-huh.
we have those random thoughts like, oh, I think I want to go to, you know, I want to live in Florida. You know, that could be a
mm-hmm.
random thought. Or I want to write a book. That could be a random thought. We have a
mm-hmm.
lot of random thoughts, but the dream is a thing that don't die. Because the
oh.
dream is the seed that God
mm-hmm.
put on the inside of us. And
mm-hmm.
that seed that God impregnates with in us does not
mm-hmm.
die in spite of your surrounding, your upbringing, and the things that have happened to you along your journey. It
mm-hmm.
just might be buried, and then God, along our journey, begins to bring us to different places that begins to ignite that which was already planted before the foundation of the world. See, that's
just
from a random thought.
Oh, absolutely. I so agree with you. Tell us, Karen, when the shift came. When did the shift come, or if you can track back that far, and tell us how that made you feel.
Well, to be honest with you, yeah, I do know my shift. I got saved, I guess I was 20. So I got saved when I was 20. I was in a Catholic church. I grew up Catholic. Got saved in choir rehearsal because the choir director wasn't Catholic.
mm-hmm.
So I had an
mm-hmm.
encounter with God, and I remember she was the first one who said, you know, God's going to use you one day. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I said, okay, you know, and kept it moving. But it was 2 years later that in 1995 is when I found I had a call on my life. And
I
so
see.
Once I had found out about this call, God, the only thing I can say is God put this passion or desire or fire in me to just, you know, spend all this time in his presence. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I knew I had a call, didn't know the details. You know, it was just I had a lot of prophetic words, different thing, encounters with God. And, you know, my mindset back then was always, if it's God, he knows how to bring it to pass. So I
absolutely
chased, I never chased anything. I was kind of like, oh, well, you know, but I wrote everything down. I kept a journal since 1995, but I never chased it. If it's mm-hmm. God, it'll come to pass. Now, the entrepreneur part of me, I never saw. That was a surprise.
I agree. I so agree with
family.
That.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right. I didn't come mm-hmm. from an entrepreneur family. And so the first 5 years was just me and God. I'm spending time with God. I had this relationship with God. It was just me and God. And then 5 years later, after the fifth year, I kind of got burnt out.
I see.
Just, in 2000, I went through. I was like, you know what? I was like, nothing's happening. And, mm-hmm. and between 2000 and 2003, I started doing my own thing. I was burnt out from the church because subconsciously, not knowing it, mm-hmm. I was thinking that the church was going to raise me up.
Uh-huh.
So I presupposed on all the prophecies that I received, thinking that it was going to come this way. And when it didn't happen, I got tired or burnt out or frustrated. And it was
uh-huh.
in those 3 years that I saw the power of God's grace, his love, and his mercy on my behalf, because in the first 5 years, not knowing it, and see, God knows what we don't know. So,
absolutely.
So not knowing it, I'm trying to work for my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in those 3 years when I wasn't doing nothing that things began to unfold. And that's when he began to show me the power of his grace, his mercy. Well, at the third year, 2003, mm-hmm. is when my business birthed. Through
uh-huh.
spoken word, I mm-hmm. never went to school to do anything I'm doing.
I got
anointed my hand, and be honest with you, Leroy, I was selling T-shirts with this guy for the sake of being with him.
I see.
Like, I'll do it, you know.
I see.
And in the midst of me doing my own thing and just being around him and selling these T-shirts, mm-hmm. I had two designers that said, well, what do you do this in? I'm thinking like, word, it's no big deal. You know, literally no big deal. And
right.
I said, if you can do all this in word, how much more could you do in real graphics, real software? So he gave me
software,
but I didn't do anything with it. I began
mm-hmm.
to sell these T-shirts on the church ground, and literally one guy, because I was a hustler back then.
Sure,
so one
sure.
guy said, well, can you design my logo? I was like, nope. Because mm-hmm. me doing something for a friend and doing something for you is two different things.
Right.
In the interim, let me tell you how God was unfolding this, because I still didn't see anything. And
mm-hmm.
that's why I always tell people, God orders our steps even when we don't see it, but he can only bring us to opportunity. He can't make us take it. And so
right.
in the interim, after I said no to him, he gave me his number anyway. And because I used to be a shampoo tech at the hairdresser, I
mm-hmm.
saw a guy who really did graphics. I said, here, call this guy. He need a logo. I'm out the picture.
Mm-hmm.
In the meanwhile, maybe about a month later, I go to a TD Jakes conference. And
okay.
the last day of the conference, now, mind you, from 2000 to 2003, I was kind of doing my own thing. So I wasn't really on fire for God, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I
sure.
felt led to go to this conference.
And I see.
So the last day, I was late because I really wasn't feeling it. And
mm-hmm.
at the close of the conference, this lady next to me said, what do you do? I keep getting that you're gifted, but you need to have
mm-hmm.
more confidence. Because she kept saying, what do you do with your hands? And at the
right.
time, I said, secretary. You know, that's what I was doing. I've been
right.
a secretary my entire life. And she kept saying, it's a gift from God. You're very creative, but you need to have more confidence. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't laugh it off. I heard it before, but I didn't take heed to anybody else because in my mind, well, you know, this is simple stuff, you know.
Right, right.
But I didn't know her from Adam, so I said, let me take this a little bit more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back home from the conference, I began to ask God, well, what do you want me to do, T-shirts? Because that's what I was doing at the time. I ran into the same guy who asked me to do the logo.
Mm-hmm.
At the hairdresser again. And I asked him, I said, did you ever get your logo? He said, nope, I've been waiting on you. The same guy who I gave the number to,
mm-hmm.
I first asked him first, did you ever call. And he said, I called him, but he never called me back. Then I asked the other guy, and that job was literally waiting. I did his logo, and that was the beginning of where we are today.
I see.
So I now, didn't see entrepreneur, but now the dream was on the inside of me, and even though God was trying to get it to me, I couldn't see it at the time. But I still had to seize these different moments that God was trying to birth it, that he was trying to reignite it, because it was buried so deep because of an abusive past.
I see. Well, let me ask you this also, Karen, with your dream. Do you find that with the things that you dream of, you're inspired to do, do you find that you are already doing those things? And if you're not already doing them now, you at some point, as the shift came about, you were able to backtrack and say, well, I'm already doing this, you know, so now how do I advance it because I'm already doing it?
Right, amen. So when it comes to a dream, and because of all of us different, you know, the dream that's on the inside of us, how God brings us into our prospective place is based on two things. One, what our assignment is in the earth, and everybody's not in the church. So I'm not just talking about pulpit church, but in the marketplace.
Oh, I understand.
Right, in the marketplace. So depending on your assignment in the earth and depending on your background, where you came from, and what you have to overcome within you really determines how God brings you into your prospective thing. And that's why you can never put God in a box on how he does what he does, because we all have different assignments, even though they can be relative to one another. But we all have different backgrounds and what we have to overcome. And so when it comes to the dream as far as now in my life, you know, back then I didn't have anything, but as it relates to now, it's the God who will plant those seeds. And, you know, if you think about a seed, so the initial dream is a seed, but if you think about anything that you plant, because I always say, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. So if you think about anything that you plant, whether you're planting grass or flowers, or if you're planting vegetables or fruit, all those different things, everything started with a seed.
Right.
But now look at all the elements that are that relate to or bring about the full fruition of that seed. You need the right ground or soil. Well, you need the right ground, but you also need the right soil, and then you have to begin to nurture it, whether it is water, the sunlight, whether it's pulling the weeds, all those different things, those elements are required to bring about the fulfillment of what was planted. But it's the same way within our lives. Even when it comes to the seed that was implanted from a long time ago before the foundation of the world, the seed is already there. In fact, a lot of us got multiple seeds on the inside of us, because Matthew talks about how he gave us talents, some one, some two, some ten. So we don't all have the same amount of assignment on the inside of us, but we all got at least one, some of them multiple. But now when it comes to the fertilizing of the tilling of our ground, that's the ground of our hearts. That is the pulling of the weeds. That's the stuff that can begin to fester over the years that comes. And so what happens is when God begins to bring out some things in us, it's those things that we didn't see that was lying dormant that begins to come to the surface. So what happened was, so what happened was, as God started bringing me into my destiny, as I started coming into the forefront of this business, I mean, starting the business was no big deal. I started in my mother's basement. That was nothing. But I always tell people, okay, but we never know what happens once we take the yellow brick road, you know, like the yellow brick road.
I so agree with you. I so agree with you, Karen. Absolutely.
With that little one step. But on her journey to the Wizard of Oz, she encountered a lot of things. But it's the same way with us.
That is ultimately true.
Isn't that true?
It is ultimately
true. And we start where we are, and God knows where we are, but on along this journey, he begins to show us different things, and he begins to allow things to happen, one, to bring stuff out of us.
Absolutely.
Those things that are lying on dormant begin to be unnerved, because what happened is we live in a place called comfortable and familiar. And so because we live in these places called comfortable and familiar, when God begins to stretch us and cause us to move out, the initial may be okay, but once we get out there, and it's like, hey, what's going on?
Sure.
Where are
sure.
these thoughts coming from? And a lot of time, if we're not aware of what's going on, a lot of us revert back and go into the same place, or we allow these distractions to hinder us and to stop our journey. And so that's why it's so important. I'm always talking about, you know, just dealing with doing self-assessments and dealing with what's on the inside of you, because it's those things that God is unnerving so that you can confront them so you can move forward. Because you'll never confront what you don't first identify. But you'll
absolutely.
Right, but you'll never conquer what you're not willing to confront. And so I meet people all the time, and of course I deal with those areas all the time as well, as far as about dealing with the inside of you, because those are the things that hinder us from moving forward. And so just like our journey, when God begins to unnerve some things, but he also develops us for the full vesture of our assignment, and they're in stages. You know, I go back to what I said a minute ago about as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. There are so many things that I can take. I mean, if you think about staircases, when we go up the steps, it's one step at a time, right?
That's correct.
So even in our journeys, it's one step at a time, meaning one level, and then God deals with it, and then we move to the next level. So he constantly shifts us. And I'm always teaching about you have to learn how to shift when God shifts you, even in your business or in your ministry, because if not, we'll be stagnant, and we can start something and never build it.
And never build it.
Things.
Absolutely. I so agree with you. The next thing is, how, Karen, is our dreams connected to our emotions?
Oh, my gosh. Really, what I was just talking about. Because, the dream, going back to when I say living in a place called comfortable and familiar, when I moved into my storefront,
okay.
Well, first of all, I'm a happy-go-lucky person. So,
I love your energy.
Thank you. So I'm my outward personality. I'm happy-go-lucky. I'm friendly. I like to laugh, smile. I'm down to earth. Like to have a good time, and I still do. I was like that when I was a kid, and I still do. However, when I moved into my storefront, when God first told me about moving into the storefront, I was on the floor screaming. I was like, oh my God, you want me to pay two rents? Because how God did it, and this is what I mean about the yellow brick road and about the journey, you know, how Dorothy experienced different things, a long route, it wasn't just one straight path. Because when God, and he has to do it according to where we are. And God knows where we are. He would never give us something beyond what we can do. So
absolutely.
I take that back. Everything that we do is beyond what we can do, but it's according to the faith where we are at that moment.
Absolutely. So, I so agree with that.
Right. So for me, because I never made it on my own, I lived with my mother my whole life. So the first thing God said was, move out. I'm going to grow you up. That's literally what he said. Now, mind you, Leroy, I'm in my 30s. I I'm in my younger 30s, my early 30s, so it wasn't like I was 20.
Right, anyway, I understand.
So when I made that first step, I was like, okay, that was a step. Once I moved into my own place, now God said, come off the job. Now I'm like, what? So I was okay until people said, oh, you should pay your bills off and do this. So now, because I did not do that, I had to get fired off my last job because God spoke, he gave a vision and a prophetic word. So when he last showed me that I had to be fired for something I wasn't going to do that and didn't do, I cried in his presence. Mm-hmm. He said, I gave you 3 opportunities to leave. You would not leave. 2 days later, mm-hmm. I was fired. And so now I'm on my own. So that is another step. Now my emotions are like, ooh. But
right.
with every step, my emotions became more and more, because after I'm on my own, 2 months later, now God said, go find a place. You see how the emotion, that's when I'm on the floor screaming.
I can understand that.
So when I first started the business, no big deal. When God said move out, I said, oh, okay. When God said come off the job, I was okay until I couldn't do what somebody said I should do, and I had to get
mm-hmm.
fired. When he said mm-hmm. move to your place, I'm screaming because I'm like, you want me to pay 2 rents? Remember,
mm-hmm.
I'm the one who lived with my mother forever. So once I moved into the storefront,
mm-hmm.
God manifested, and he did. But even in the midst of being in my storefront for 10 years, it's still been faith walks, because in business you have to learn how to take risks, because
absolutely.
You will never grow. I started
absolutely.
With graphics. I do graphics,
mm-hmm.
printing, book publishing, websites. I mean, I have my home. When I moved in, of course, I only had 1 printer. Now I have a whole
mm-hmm.
bunch. I do publishing. I've had to purchase several things, and so with every step, like when I purchased my last printer in 2010, it was in the midst of the economy. Now, I didn't know the economy was going to happen, but my mindset
right.
was, God, I didn't ask for none of this, so you're obligated to take care of me. That's
yes.
who I was, because my trust was on, God, you did this. And that
yes.
goes back to relationship, because in the midst of a storm, one thing that God showed me, because it still goes with the emotion, Peter
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
the Bible had enough faith to step out of the boat because everybody else stayed in the boat. However, when the winds and the waves began to tremble, then he began to take his eyes off of Jesus and put it on the circumstances. That is
yes.
where your emotions get riled up, because
yes.
based on the circumstances.
Based on the circumstance.
Sink because of what he was looking at. Now, a lot of people sink because once they step out in business or step out in whatever their endeavor is, they don't see these things coming, because we're not God. We don't know the future. So we
mm-hmm.
don't know
That's correct.
The things that are going to manifest. However, if you step out on God, what God said, then he's obligated to take care of you if you keep your eyes on him and obey his instructions. And
yes.
that's what I did in the midst of the economy. I didn't do what everybody else did. Of course, everybody got something to say, but you got to know what God is saying. So when I had to purchase this new printer, I heard
mm-hmm.
God say, don't look at your circumstances. And he said, don't limit me. He said,
I do understand.
Limit me and don't
mm-hmm.
make your decision based on your circumstances. Because at that
mm.
time, money was tight. I was like,
well, right, I understand.
My printer went from like $500 a month to like $1,100 a month, because I got the best one. I got
right.
out of the 3 printers, I got the one I really wanted. Now, I didn't compromise with what the other one was. But I never, never, with a capital N-E-V-E-R, missed a beat. I have always paid all my bills in spite of the economy, in
uh-huh.
spite of what the environment was doing, in spite
mm-hmm.
of anything else, because I kept... Once you step out the boat, it is mandatory that you keep your eyes on Jesus, because the storm is coming. The waves
Absolutely.
And the winds will blow. That's
yes.
inevitable. And a
yes.
lot of people in the body sink because of what we do, because then we try to, okay, let me try to make it happen. See, that's the emotion. Okay, let me do this.
Yes.
Now we start coming up with our own kind of plans, and we start manipulating, and
yes.
we're going to try to do all these different things, and that's all out of the flesh and your emotions. But
yes.
if you know God started a thing, then you
yes.
have to know that he'll keep you in the midst of every situation. And that's why he calls me to rise above these things that has happened on the earth. I'm
yes.
not special. I'm no different than anybody else. We all have emotions, which
mm-hmm.
can either cause us to be up or down.
Or
but
down.
The only
yes.
reason we're up and down is because of where our focus is. And the power of a dream will keep you above the waters. You know, because I think about when you swim, and you know how you do the doggy float, the doggy paddle. Well, if you think about someone who does a doggy paddle, you got to overexert yourself. You know, I don't know, but maybe it's just me. You know, you got to keep moving your arms, you got to move your legs and all that stuff to stay above the water. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All of that is flesh-driven. So a lot of us are doing things flesh-driven, trying to stay afloat.
Yes, I so agree with what you're saying. So with all that you're saying to us tonight, Karen, what is the purpose, what purpose does the dream serve? What purpose does it serve for us, the listener, who may not be exactly where you are, where I am, as you have said. We all are in different places. There are some persons whom I believe have lost their dream. So tell us, what purpose does the dream really serve?
The purpose of the dream goes back to who put it there. See, every one of us was born with a dream, a desire, a purpose, an assignment, a destiny on the inside of us, in and out of the church. So now what the dream serves as, or what the purpose of the dream, is to glorify God in the earth. See, even if, let's see, okay, I'm in my business. So my business is printing and graphics, graphics, book publishing. So I always tell people, we got all kinds of printers out here. We got all kinds of graphic people out here. We got all kinds of publishers out here. I'm not the only one. So what makes me different than the next printer and publisher? What makes me different is the power of the dream that's living on the inside of me. It's the assignment that's on the inside of me, because it's not just about printing. It's not just about a dollar. It's not just about a job, but it's about what I bring to the table. And so what happens is, I've had many people, because my prayer is, God, send those who I'm assigned to. So now, therefore, when people come to me, they come because I'm assigned to them, meaning I'm a shifter. So when you recognize who you really are, it's really not about the job, or it's not about what you do. It's about the platform that God has given you to ultimately bring the vessel that he wants to use in the earth. It doesn't mean that you're churchy, because, see, I'm not churchy. There's nothing religious about me. I don't say praise the Lord when people come in. You ain't got no church music going on. I don't do all this hallelujah. It is business. And even though a lot of time the ministry people will come, it's business. And
yes,
so
it
what
is.
Happens is, we can talk about ministry for a minute, but we're not going to be there all day, because we're in business and this is my job.
Absolutely.
I have to perform different things. I have jobs to do. And so what happens is, what makes the dream significant, what makes your dream powerful, is because whatever God put in you, even the enemy knows, even the devil knows how God's going to use you in the earth.
Yes.
So what happens is, he begins to throw seeds of distractions, or seeds of devastation, or seeds of abuse, or seeds of whatever in your journey to hopefully, he can never steal the anointing, he can never steal your assignment, he can never steal the dream, but what he does is, he tries to water you down so much that now you have lost your confidence to step in it. But when we recognize that that thing that's on the inside of us, we didn't put it there, but God put it there, so that whatever platform he's trying to get you to becomes the platform that he's going to use you. And that has nothing to do with the church, because a lot of people are not even coming into the church. So now when people have come into my business, they come in for one thing, but come in contact with the anointing on my life. The Bible says that our gift will make room for us. Anybody their business. No one even knows I'm a pastor or minister unless they bring it up or ask.
Yes,
me.
Absolutely.
I don't go by Pastor Karen on the job. And so what happens is, they'll begin to just tell me their business.
Yes, indeed.
And so that's only God opening doors. And so what happens is then sometimes I pray for people, sometimes I minister to people. I don't give them my credentials before I minister. I just share.
Absolutely.
So what happens is they come and get a need or get a touch from God or get an experience from God that they're not even expecting. So you don't know how many times that has happened where people come in for business, and that's why the power of the dream is so important, because the enemy wants to silence the voice of God. And even the people that are listening today, or if you log on and listen to the replay button, you have to understand that there are people waiting for you to come out. There are people waiting for you to step into your platform. There are people waiting for you to give birth to what's on the inside of you.
Yes,
because
they are.
Everything must come out, because whoever you're assigned to is going to come to you, and not me or the next person. See,
yes.
Yes,
people who
are assigned to me in the earth.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I so agree with you.
There are people who are assigned to you in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And even
though
we can be in the same neighborhood and we can be in the same state, there are people who are assigned to for how you're going to deliver it, how you're going to say it, how just the way you do it. It can be a thousand deliverance ministries, but the way I do it is the ones that are coming just for me.
Yes, I so agree with you. In fact, Karen, I have been one that has been quoted as saying, there are many who can do what I do. The difference is I'm anointed to do what I do.
Exactly.
And when you are anointed to do with you what you do, you can put credibility in front of business and business in front of prosperity. And you do it in that order because you know God blesses order.
Mm-hmm.
God don't bless junk. He blesses
order.
And so in that, if I'm anointed, it's just the same as saying, many have been called, but only a few have been chosen.
Right.
If I'm anointed, I'm anointed to do what I do. So then, therefore, if I recognize, and the listeners recognize, that you are anointed to do what you do, then there is no reason for me to allow distractions to come and grab hold of my attention and abort my dreams. Because I am anointed to do what I'm doing.
Right. But what comes to distract us is the stuff that was already in us. That's why
right.
we have to begin to confront the stuff that's in us, because the same way God planted seed of destiny, purpose, and assignment on the inside of us, along our journey, the enemy has planted seeds too. See, the Bible says that the wheat and the tares grow up together. That's how even in the natural. You have a good crop, and then you'll have weeds that grow up at the same time. And we have to pluck out the weeds so that our crop can continue to grow strong. Well, it's the same way with us. What happened is a lot of us got saved but never got delivered. And so now we're churchy and we love the Lord, but the deliverance in our soul, those are the things that along our journey, because we all got a path. So along our
absolutely.
Journey,
you bet.
There are people. Right, there are people who deal with rejection, you know, seeds of rejection, and that seed of rejection has multiple fruits. You know, fruits, you got anger, people with anger, people with low self-esteem, insecurity, no confidence, depression, and functional depression, you know, so they still look okay. So what happens is we have this mask that we put on, and we've had it on for so long, you don't even know it's a mask. And you know, it reminds me of the movie with Jim Carrey when he had that mask, that it was called Mask. And to put the mask on was easy, but every time they wanted to take it off, it was like a struggle to take that mask off. Did you see that movie?
Yes.
All right. So it was a struggle to take it off. And so what happens, that mask became him. I mean, well, of course, for him, the movie, you know, it just made him into who he really wanted to be.
Who he really was, yes.
Right. But for us, that mask, a lot of times we adopt these different behaviors along our journey that really becomes us as we grow up. And even when we get saved, yes, we're saved in our spirit, but our soul and your mind have to begin to be renewed. But your soul and your emotions, you got to begin to confront the stuff that's dealing with you instead of just pass it by like, oh, yeah, and I'm going to do better. And that's why we don't realize that when God is ready to bring us into a new thing, why do I keep procrastinating? Why is it that I keep, you know, every time I get to a place, then I go back, you know, and those are the things that we don't realize that keep us repeating cycles, but you have to begin to confront those different areas in your life that you recognize, and you won't recognize until you really start opening your eyes and focus. Like I tell people, let's say even with this dream, if you ever go somewhere new, you turn the radio off, you get off the phone, you listen to the navigator, you pay attention, you're not eating or any of those things. Why? Because you're going somewhere new. You're not going home and work that you know all the time. So
yes, indeed.
The same way with your dream, if you're going to pursue your dream, then you have to begin to pay attention to the things or the weeds that are growing up at the same time. Because God can be speaking purpose, and God can be speaking moving forward, and God can be speaking giving birth, and at the same time, the weeds in your life are growing up speaking something contrary at the same
contrary.
Time. Therefore, the war that's going on the inside of people, and they don't realize what is going on. Some of them don't realize, and some of them are so indifferent to it because it's been them forever. They don't know why.
Yes.
And
I
so get into a place where the word will begin to challenge them. Until they get into a place where they begin to confront or begin to, I always say, invest into your destiny, invest into your personal development, invest into your spiritual development. That goes past just your church service, because there are some people who actually have material that would begin to help people to unlock what's on the inside of them. I have a book called It's Time to Unmask the Real You, which is an interactive workbook with a healing to wholeness with a healing coach. I've had men and women who've gotten that book, and because you can write in it, but literally I'm anointed to help people unlock what's on the inside of them. And I've had people come back and be like, girl, you are messing with me. That's because there's some things you don't know what to ask yourself. And so when somebody begins to unnerve and ask you the right question, then you be like, oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that. So that's an anointing on my life to actually do that. And I've had, you know, people say it all the time. And, you know, that's not something I heard. That's something that's walked out for the last so many years.
Right. Well, Karen, the other question that I have in mind for the listeners is how, as a dreamer, or put it this way, how does a dreamer conquer anxiety and fear? Because I believe that many persons may have stopped dreaming because of those two things, anxiety and fear. Of course, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. But embracing that script for what it is and taking the necessary steps so that we can come from being what I call a prisoner of the moment that says all I'm supposed to do is exist. I'm not supposed to live in abundance. I'm just supposed to exist. And that is because life situations has put us behind a brick wall, is what I call it. And we suffer from fear and we suffer from anxiety. So we don't want to go nowhere. Some persons don't want to go nowhere. When they get up in the morning, they happy to just sit on the porch. They ain't got nothing to do. Talk to us about that.
Well, I remember I dealt with fear too. I remember the first time God had me to do something, I'm like, oh, my God, I had panic attacks and all kinds of stuff. I didn't realize how fearful I was. And as a spirit of fear, had anxiety, panic attack, all that stuff. And so I had to – it goes back to what I was saying a minute ago about confronting. You can't confront what you don't first identify. You'll never conquer what you're not willing to confront. So we're all different as it relates to how we – conquer or confront different things. But the first thing is acknowledge. You have to acknowledge that you're fearful. You have to acknowledge that you're fear. And then because fear takes on so many different forms, what are you afraid of? Are you fearful of fear of success, fear of failure, fear of disappointment, fear of man, fear of rejection? You know, there's all kinds of fears. And it goes back to doing that self-assessment. Okay, what is really going on? You have to, like, talk to yourself. What is going on? What am I afraid of? You have to begin to ask yourself when you are having these different emotional issues, what happened right before that? Right before this thought, what happened before this thought? Because, see, if you don't begin to backtrack, you always allow it to keep playing in your life. So if you don't begin to take an amendment for a minute and begin to say, now, what is going on? Where did this come from? What took place before I started tripping? You know, all these different things. You have to, it's like you have to dissect. You have to dissect the same way, you know, back in high school and they dissected a frog. Or if you think about, I mean, I think about, you know, these computer cords, and sometimes you just got to unravel these cords.
Sure you
sometimes
do.
Sometimes they can
be
all untangled. Well, you have to unravel your thoughts. And so if you can do it yourself, but that's where sometimes you need a coach.
Yes.
That's why sometimes you need a coach, because a coach is designed to help us to get from one platform to the next in our journey.
Yes.
Now, a coach is not somebody you need forever.
Right, that's right.
Someone like, you know, okay, let me have a few sessions. You know, I think about this one guy, and it really blessed me because I had a guy I never met. He's an older man. I never met him, and had different conversations with him. But he actually paid for his son to have 5 coaching sessions. And what blessed me was, it's one thing to have women on women, but when a man sees something in you that says, I'm going to pay for my son, he was 30-something, to come
I
to
see.
A woman. See, that goes beyond gender. This is about anointing.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Something. And I remember when I first met the guy, you know, he had his suit on and all that stuff. And, you know, I wear jeans and tennis shoes every day, so at work. So he had on his suit and, you know, he just kind of looked at me. So, we just talking. I remember him saying, I'm getting a little warm, you know, like that, right? And then he said, you know, he had a tear go down his eye. He was like, oh, does this normally happen on the first session? So he wasn't expecting it, but that's the anointing when you go to the right one. See, I always talk about there's a lot of keys and there's a lot of doorknobs, but every key don't fit the right doorknob. So you have to realize there's a lot of people out here. There's a lot of ministries. There's a lot of pastors. There's a lot of coaches out here. But every person don't do the same thing. You got to make sure
that
you
is correct
with the right one, so you can unlock what's on the inside of you. That will preach all by itself.
Yes, it will.
And so what happened was, the people go back to who I'm assigned to, because when they begin to come, because I had one lady who came from Baltimore, and the power of the testimony with her is when she said, I've been, over the last 18 years, I've been to about 9 psychotherapists. She said, with minimal results. She said, minimal results. She said,
wow.
I've never had somebody to unlock what was on the inside of me at a short time like that. See, that's the key, going into the right nozzle or whatever these things are called, and unlocking stuff that's on the inside. So, see, we're not designed to do everything by ourselves. So even though I can share these tidbits and people can do stuff and they can take, and maybe sometime they will get some results, but there are sometimes whenever you connect with the person that God tell you to connect to, even if it's just for a season, then those things that will be unlocked for that season will propel you into the next season that God is trying to bring you into, because he never called us to be an island, and he never called us to be isolated.
Yes, I so agree with what you're saying.
We all have different gifts.
Yes. On that same note, tell us, Karen, how does a dream board impact the progress of our dreams? The scripture says, young men dream dreams, but old men have vision. So talk to us about how that dream board, or for some that may not know, because I don't want to assume that persons know what I'm talking about. Another name for a dream board is a vision board. So talk to us about that.
Well, the Bible also says, without a vision perishes.
Perish, right.
And so what happens is the dream board or vision board helps a person just to keep the vision alive before them. You know, you can get a board or you can put it on your wall, but you begin to, the things that God began to download, the things that come up in your thought pattern, you know, getting a picture, because the picture or the image on the inside of us is one thing, but when you begin to see the picture, you know, in front of you, let me give you an example. When God told me to do my first photo shoot, I did a photo shoot in 2006, and at that time I wasn't even in ministry, but I did a photo shoot, and, you know, I never did that before, and, you know, I got the picture back, and I'm like, wow, 2 pictures I blew up into a poster, and literally when I looked at the picture, I kept saying, it's something on me. I mean, literally, I was saying this because, you know, I didn't come out, you know, into ministry like, yeah. I came
right.
out like I had to plow through a whole bunch of stuff that was over my life.
I do understand. I do understand.
I had to plow through some whole bunch of dung-ho. And so I looked at the picture, and I just kept looking, and I literally used to look at the picture like, Karen, you a big girl now. I had to say this
mm-hmm.
because when God
mm-hmm.
brought me into ministry, the fight that was in me was I was a big girl, but the little girl in me never grew up. So what
mm-hmm.
happened, there was a rustle and a tussle and the warfare that was going on in me. Nobody
mm-hmm.
saw it, can remember, I'm happy-go-lucky. So the warfare that was going on in me was God was bringing me into stuff. And, oh, my God, I felt like a little girl, like I can't do this. And so
right.
there was a
right.
fight because of what was in me, but I couldn't
mm-hmm.
deny what was God was doing on outside of me. So the fight
mm-hmm.
was what he was doing and how I looked at myself. The
internal right.
image that I had of myself was a
mm-hmm.
damaged, wounded little girl that never grew up. So this first
mm-hmm.
picture that I looked, I kept saying, you a big girl now. I kept looking so I could see the anointing on me on the picture,
mm-hmm.
but couldn't see it in the mirror. So
uh-huh.
that
uh-huh.
became like a vision board. Also, there's other things that I've had on my wall, you know, like different, like book covers. I remember one of my book covers, God gave me in 2007. I did the book cover, put it on my wall. That I didn't
mm-hmm.
start writing it until last year, 2014. And so different things like a house or you know, this or that. Sometimes it could be quotes or words or different
yes.
prophecies spoken over your life. Those are
yes.
things that you can put on your wall to keep the vision alive. Because what happens is, in just like going back to Peter, in that journey, we don't know when the winds and the waves begin to rock us. And sometimes
yes.
things can hit us and cause us to be knocked out. But if you
mm-hmm.
keep the vision before you, you keep it alive on the inside of you, you can recall God back, bring God back to his remembrance or bring his word back to his remembrance, the things he said. But what happens is if we don't have it alive in front of us, we can allow life to snuff it out, and all
yes.
of a sudden we lose the image inwardly.
Yes. Tell us also, Karen, as we are in spin down here, we have about eight minutes here. Tell us also, how does an environment impact our dreams? The environment. There are many times where I've said to persons, the brick and mortar is not the environment. I am the environment. So it is
right.
me who determine how I go, where I go, the comfort of the business, all of that. Tell us about the environment and how the environment will impact one's dreams for
now,
the next 60 seconds.
And you're talking about now, the environment where you are now, like as far as where people are already in their business or trying
yeah.
to get to their dream?
It's trying to get to their dreams. Let's take it trying to get to their dreams.
Well, one thing about the environment, I mean, some of the things we was already talking about throughout the course, but one thing
mm-hmm.
about environment is when God began to shift you, everybody don't shift with you. So now when you were doing nothing, you those
yes.
friends and family and all that stuff, and kick it, hey, 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 hey. But then when you
yes.
start going to the next level, everybody's
mm-hmm.
going to go with you. And a lot
no.
of times it
no.
goes back to, hey, because you got to discern what people are saying. Everybody not happy for you, and God will begin to deal with you and push you. But if you're trying to hold on to your past, because I tell people you can't walk forward and backwards at the same time. You're going to
no.
either be
no.
moving both feet or you're not moving at all. And so
that's
your
right.
environment
that's
is crucial to just like the soil, to the soil being correct so you can grow, develop properly. So the environment is just as crucial. If you're in a place that's very abusive, then it's going to be hard to keep dreaming. If
yes.
you're in a place or if you're in a place where maybe you have a lot of friends that not really doing nothing, you don't have to all be spiritual, but you ain't doing nothing.
Absolutely.
Or maybe you're
just absolutely.
Or you got a very negative mouth. So now
yes.
how can
yes.
you give birth when you got all this, when your backpack is so heavy, when you got all
mm-hmm.
this burden, when you got all this negativity around you? You can't do positive and negative at the same time. And
no,
so
you
what
cannot.
Happens is you have to begin to make a decision if you're going to move forward. We can still be friends, but we can't be kicking it on the phone all the time. Because if
absolutely.
I'm on the phone with you and I'm drained, then there's a
yes.
problem.
Yes.
It
yes.
doesn't mean that we're not friends anymore. I have to begin to make better decisions for me to move forward.
Yes.
Your environment is just as crucial because your outside environment affects your inside environment.
Yes. Yes.
And that's why I always tell people you have to understand when God shifts you, he shifts you not only just places, but also he'll shift you in your mind. He'll begin to shift you in your body. And also I always tell people you cannot be fed at one level at the same level and expect to get to the next level. When people run track, when they ran track, what you did in high school, you didn't do in college. What you do in college, you didn't do if you're going to the Olympics. So they all run in track, but now the environment or their discipline or what they fed on was different from high school, from college to track. So therefore, it's the same thing in the spiritual realm, that if we might just do religion for 1 minute, but then I got to begin to get a little spiritual and understand that all food is not the same. Just because you're a preacher don't mean we all feed on the same thing.
That is
it's
correct.
It's a word. It's a word, and it could be good word, but is it a noun word for your situation?
Yes. Yes.
To push you into
yes.
this next place.
Absolutely. Is it a noun word? Absolutely. I so agree with your pouring out, Karen, of your spirit. I so agree with your wisdom and your understanding to move beyond the cloud and to recognize the dream as a result of your putting your hand in God's hand and having him to lead you and guide you in every way that's unknown to man. So I appreciate you for taking this time to embrace the very first show of the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show. And for all of the listeners,
upcoming a class, a Birthing Your Dreams class real quick.
Yeah, you can go ahead and do that.
Next Saturday, May 2nd, is Birthing Your Dreams Workshop. It's going to be in Greenbelt, Maryland. You can go to KarenPresley.org to find out about it. But it's about birthing that which is on the inside of you. If you have something in you, you definitely want to be in that workshop.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So all of the listeners, you all have heard from Ms. Karen Presley, and hopefully and prayerfully, you all will take this valuable information that you have heard today and put it into great use, apply it, share it, and if you all could just do me a favor three times is the way I'm going to put this. All I would ask you to do as the host of the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show is to live hard, live long, but most importantly, live right. Thank you very much, and we'll see you again.